that cup of coffee. Good morning, children. It is 06:30 Monday morning. I'm recording this the day you're hearing it. Could have recorded it yesterday, but yesterday I played Star Wars almost all fucking day. I did a few other things, but it was a lot of fucking Star Wars. It was actually a fuck ton of fun, too. So I just got back, not this moment, I actually got back from my out-of-town work gig on late Saturday night. Oh, God. But I made it back and got back and got everything out of the car and did a little bit of unpacking and played Star Wars till like midnight 30. That's the latest I've been up for a long time because we didn't have to stay up late for the event. Everything took place during like normal-ish hours. Had to get up early. Had to get up at fucking 03:30 one day to get in there to run a breakfast. But stayed up late playing Star Wars. Next morning, Sunday morning, woke up at 0500. No alarm, just naturally woke up because that's when I wake up. And pretty much went right back into playing Star Wars. Played Star Wars all fucking day yesterday. Did a few little things around, did some dishes, did some laundry, watered the yard, put stuff away out of the suitcase, put my clothes away. But mostly just playing Star Wars. So, anyhow, thought I'd just do a little podcast and tell you guys about the trip. First, here's what we're not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about the event itself, because we're going to talk about that later. Because let me let you guys in on what may or may not be a secret to you. They have plans for you. You see, what of the many reasons why I do what I do, why I do production, why I do event production, why I do the people say, why don't you just get another job? And I'm working on other income sources. But one of the things I like about this, you ever watch the old movies? The old movies. You ever watch movies that take place in the olden days, back when people were honest about slavery, right? Like you and I, we are slaves of the government, but nobody wants to be honest about it. You watch something like Spartacus, which I've talked about extensively, right? So in Spartacus, the Romans, they got their slaves, right? They're honest about the fact that the slaves are slaves. There's no pretense, there's no telling them that they're free and they have a freedom of speech and shit like that, that they have bodily autonomy and all this other horseshit. The slaves are slaves and everyone knows it. So you watch something like Spartacus, and the characters were not slaves, the householders. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I can't remember his name right now. But they're standing there, and they're talking about things that, they're making their plans of how they're going to trick this other person into doing this so they can kill him, so they can, get him out of the way so he can get more power. And like the slaves are standing right there, and they can hear every bit of it. But the people, they don't care because from their perspective, the slaves really just don't exist. The slaves are not even human, right? The slaves are just invisible. Well, that's the thing about working in production. Like you're running an event. So this event that I ran, we're not going to tell you what it is, but I will tell you some details from it. It was mostly scientist. And if you rolled your eyes when I said the word scientist, yes, you are exactly correct. It was a bunch of scientists with a feminist leftist agenda. I'm not adding that in. They're very open about it. This is what I'm going to talk when I talk about this. They're very open about their agenda. It's a bunch of scientists and some politicians and some CEOs. And they're walking around and they're talking about, they're doing presentations to each other, talking about their plans for you. And it's like those of us who are running the event, it's like we're not even there. I'm just looking at this and going, wow, man, I'm right here. I'm right here. The things over the years, the things that I have seen and heard, and this was no exception. Boys, they have plans for you. Oh, do they have plans for you? The vax is only the start. Anyway, but that's not what we're talking about. As I try to get my voice under control here. It was a good time, man. We went down there and worked with a really good crew. There was one guy on the crew, fucking audio guy, of course, who was an annoying little fuck. He's one of those people that, you know, he's 1,000 years old and he's been doing this forever, but he kind of doesn't really know what the fuck he's doing, and he talks all the goddamn time. He talks. He's one of those people who talk for the purpose of filling silence because he just can't stand silence. Even when the guy went down there with, we're talking, he's like, yeah, that guy's really annoying me. The guy went down there with, we'll call him Jim. Oh, God, I got to start coming up with new names for people because I'm not Weyland Yutani and Umbrella Corporation anymore where I had all the code names. Oh, I got to come up with a code name for this place. Anyway, we'll call him Jim. Jim's like, yeah, I know I talk a lot, but I usually try to say something when I'm talking. This guy, he just talks to fill the silence. I'm like, yes, yes, he does. And, you know, so we're doing the breakfast. So we're in there. It's like 6 in the, when did it start? We got there at we were there at 5. Client was in at 6. Breakfast starts at 7. So it's like 5 minutes until 0700. Breakfast is just about to start. And we're there. I got to run video and PowerPoint, and we're doing a live recording of the thing. I got to freaking do the switcher on the live recording and all this other shit. We did a fuck ton. That's the other thing, too. We did a fuck ton of live streaming. Oh, my God. The number of computers. And, all right, hang on. I got to start making notes of things that I need to talk about because I don't have any notes. This is total stream of consciousness here. Which I know, everyone's going, and how is that different from your normal fucking word vomit? Well, it's different because we're recording this one in the kitchen while I drink a cup of coffee. That's how it's different. So it's like 6:55. Program's about to start. And I'm sitting there, I'm checking everything out last minute, making sure everything is okay. Everything's fine. And he comes strolling up to the booth with a fucking plate of food. He's like, they said we could have food. That's another thing. Like, you can tell, like, the scum. It's like, he's one of those guys, too. He's constantly, like, trying to get stuff. Yeah, I mean, we're working the event. And when I work an event, yes, I appreciate it when the client feeds you. Right? But the protocol here is, if you're a crew, there's the crew, and then there's whoever's in charge of the crew, right? The protocol is that if you are the crew, you wait for the client to come and say to you, hey, if you guys want to get some food, go for it. You, the crew, do not go ask the client, can I have some food? Now, the crew leader can go ask the client, hey, can my crew get some food this morning? Is that all right? But you, the crew, do not go and fucking ask for food. That's just not, you know, it's like in theater, you got to tell the noobs, like the people rolling, it's like, no, you don't go ask people for their autograph, right? That's not what we're here for. We're not here, you know, we're not here as parasites. We're not here as leeches. We're not here as fanboys. You know, we don't do that shit. So dipshit comes up there with a plate of fucking food. And I know good and goddamn well that he went down there and was hounding somebody. Can I get some food? Can I get some food? Because he's one of these fucking people. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not going to go. And he says, anyway, he says, we can get some food if you want to go down and get something. I'm like, I can't go get food right now. We're about to start. I have to push buttons and stuff. Oh, okay. And so we're sitting there. And I mean, I got the PowerPoint, and I got the video switcher, and I got the video recorder, and this guy's got a fucking soundboard. He's audio. It's a microphone. It's one microphone. You mute, unmute. Mute, unmute. He has one button, and then there's a volume slider. He has one fucking button and a fucking slider. And the guy goes up to the fucking lectern, not the podium, because you stand on a podium, you stand behind a lectern. The guy goes up, even though everyone calls a lectern a podium, it's not. He goes up to the lectern, and he's standing there talking in the microphone, and nothing is coming out, and he's looking up towards the booth, and I see him, and he sees me, and he's like, the microphone's not working. And I turn, and I look at the fucking sound guy, and he's sitting there stuffing food in his face, not even paying attention. I'm like, hey, dipshit. I didn't say dipshit, but I should. I'm like, hey, turn the microphone on. But he's so just that kind of person. It's like, let me shove food in my face instead of doing my fucking job. You know, and then you go through life and you wonder, gee, how is it in everything I try to do? It, like, I go somewhere, the service is fucked up, right? Whatever. I mean, this is why, because our society is filled with people like this. I mean, he's got the breakfast, literally, Hitler was less than 2 hours. He had 22 other hours in the day to stuff food into his fucking pie hole. But he's got to stuff food in his pie hole when he's supposed to be running the goddamn show. And yes, these people are evil, but we're getting paid to run the show for them. And if we don't turn the microphone up, I can't hear the shit they're saying that's evil so that I can come back and tell you about it. You know, for those who say, great one, these people are evil. Why are you working for them? Because I'm finding out what they're up to. That's why. If you guys hear any noise in the background, that's the washing machine out of balance. Don't worry about it. This isn't a podcast with Adam Piggott. We can have background noise. It's okay, because we live in the real world. Gotta rag on Adam a little bit. Oh, wait, I don't want to talk about, I just made a note about what I wanted to talk about, but I really want to talk about that when I talk about the content of this thing. All right, so let me put that over there. Anyway, the rest of the crew was really good. Man, we had a good time. There were these two brothers. I don't know what they looked like Middle Eastern. They had, you know, they just had that whole look, and they had the beard. They looked kind of Taliban-ish in a good way, though. These two brothers, they're from down in Texas. I'm going to call them the Taliban brothers. I actually like that. That's my name for them. We spent a lot of time hanging out with, Jim and I spent a lot of time hanging out with the Taliban brothers because we were all at the same hotel. These guys were killer, man. Ragging on each other all the time in that good-natured, brotherly way. And just really good guy. Like I said, everyone other than the idiot audio guy really knew their shit. The last day of the event, the client changed a bunch of stuff. They changed the location. So, well, among the things we were doing is we were live streaming a fuck ton of Zoom calls. And so we had people in the studio and we're filming them and then we're patching that into a Zoom call and then we're live streaming that out to the world. Which is a lot more complex than you may think it is, because of the audio element, because you got to send everybody the audio, but you can't send them their own audio. You got to filter out, right, the other audio. And I learned something I didn't know, because I don't fucking use Zoom, because I'm not gay. Apparently, because we're doing these Zoom calls, well, then there's another time where we're just having individual people doing Zoom calls. And so we're setting up this computer so these people can come in and do their Zoom call. And this is not being televised or anything like that or filmed. And we're setting it up in the microphone. I'm like, don't they need a headset so that there's no, like, the noise, the sound doesn't echo on itself? And the guy tells me, no, Zoom will cancel that out. I'm like, really? No shit. I had no idea that you could do a Zoom call without wearing a headset, that Zoom would cancel out the noise. So it's like, oh, so every time I see somebody doing a Zoom call with a headset on, they don't need that. All right, anyway. So the client moved a bunch of stuff from one room to another, from one recording studio to another. And so the result was that they had to move a bunch of computers and equipment and reconfigure everything. And so this was on Thursday that the decision was made. And Thursday, so we stayed and we got everything configured, all this other stuff. And we come in next Friday morning and the main video streaming guy comes in. He says, "Yeah, you know what? I just realized something last night. This isn't going to work." Everyone's like, "Huh?" He's like, "Because of this. Because it, you know, there's, you see, like playing a video to everybody on the Zoom call and then filming the people in the studio and then and the people in the Zoom. And like I say, the video aspect of it is simple. The fucking thing that kills you is getting the audio going in all the different directions with, again, without giving people their own audio back to them. It's, for those of you who don't, you would, trust me, it's a lot harder than you think it is. Not harder, more complex. That's the word. It's way more complex than you think it is. He's like, "Yeah, the video is going to fuck us because the video, this audio," and they're like, "Ah, shit." And so they're assholes and elbows rewiring shit and more computers and more fucking squawk boxes and got everything done like about 7 minutes before we had to go live. But they were good. It was a good crew. Everybody was very knowledgeable. So the Taliban brothers, we were hanging out with them. We went out shopping. Did a lot of shopping. Felt like a goddamn woman. I got my receipts right here. We're going to total this up. I spent a lot of fucking money. Oh my God, did I spend a lot of money. Oh, hang on. Let me make a note right now. Spent a lot of money. We did a lot of shopping for clothes, like women, work clothes, pants, and we did a lot of shopping for guns. Jim brought back a gun with him. Oh, I gotta tell you guys about that guy. All right, let me write that down. Yeah, and then we did a lot of going to restaurants and sampling the local brews. There's actually some really good local beers. So we're going gun shopping, and Jim has worked in this city before. Jim says, "Man, there's this great gun store. We got to go there." And we go in. Oh, let me write down this other story. Tacos. I'll tell you guys the taco story. So Jim's like, "Yeah, there's this great gun store. It's really small on the outside. You look at it, you're like, hey, it can't be much in there. But you go inside, and there's just like guns everywhere." I'm like, "All right, sure, whatever." So Jim and the Taliban brothers and I were going to the gun store. And yeah, get there. It's like this, you know, it's like in a little strip mall. It looks like, you know, this little small section of the strip mall. All right, whatever, you know. Open the door, walk in, and look over behind the counter. And there's just like, there's a layer of guns against the wall. And there's a layer of guns in front of that. And then, like, there's this other sporadic layer of guns in front of it. I'm like, Jesus, goddamn Christ. There's a lot of goddamn guns in a very small place. And the owners are this Russian couple. And, you know, thick Russian accent. You know, very, very, I see if I can do a Russian accent at 06:52 in the morning. Very Russian accent. The owner, he's great. We're just loving him. He's going off. "Yeah, so I'm driving down the road and I see all these rainbow flags everywhere. Why is with the fucking rainbow flags? Why rainbow flags everywhere? And the children's now, they're going to the schools and 70% of them, they're coming out fucked up because these people are telling them that there's no boys and there's no girls and they're telling them these things. And why do we have to see this? And the politicians, they're just..." There's a terrible Russian accent. It's almost like a French-German combination or something. I should have watched some Russian something on YouTube to study for this. And the French, The French had it right. The French, they had a revolution, and they took everything, and they chopped their fucking heads off. And that's what we need to do in this country. Guillotine, chop their fucking heads off.
And we're rolling. It's like, oh my God, this guy is the motherfucker. I'm serious. I'm not making any of that up. He was ranting about the rainbow flags as he drives down the street. He actually said 70% of kids are coming out of school fucked up because of the gender fucking thing. You know, he actually said, yeah, we need to chop their heads off. And I'm like, we need to chop their heads off. You're exactly right. Oh, man. He was so entertaining. And that good, fairly good stockpile of ammo. And Jim is like, so, because, you know, in some places they got the limits on how much ammo you can buy. Jim's looking, he's, ooh, ammunition, I need some of this stuff. You know, he's like, so is there a limit on the ammo? And the Russian guy's like, no, it is for sale. There is no limit. Buy it. Buy all of it. It's just great. Is there a limit? No, it is for sale. No.
And, you know, it's like, come on, guys. It's true. Like, I'm going to a gun store and somebody, oh, you can only buy two boxes of bullets. I'm like, what? What do you mean I can only buy two? What, is this a fucking museum? Is your shit for sale or what? I have money. You have ammunition. Once again, you know, the incompetence of the fucking world around us because of the Wuhan. Oh, there's a supply chain shortage. No, there's an intelligence shortage. What we're not short of is laziness and stupidity. That's the goddamn problem. It's not a shortage that is the problem. The problem is the fucking abundance of laziness and stupidity.
You only buy two boxes of ammo.
Really? And what's the other ammo gonna do? Is it gonna fucking make you money while it's sitting here on the goddamn shelf? Fucking Christ. So anyway, you know, leave it to the Russians to have things in fucking perspective. Rainbow flags, public school system fucking up kids and cutting off the heads of politicians. And yes, the fucking ammunition is for sale. Buy as much of it as you want. It's pretty sad when you look around the world. It's like, yeah, you know where I should maybe go to have some freedom? Russia. For those of us who remember the Soviet Union, right, the complete turnaround here. It really is fascinating. I'm starting to warm up now. This podcast might be about to get interesting any minute now. I need to get some more coffee. Sun's coming up. Oh my God, it's a beautiful sunrise out there. Clouds are out. Sun's coming over the hill. I got the silhouettes of the trees. Got the red of the sun on the clouds. I should have turned on the other microphone on the recorder because then you'd be able to hear me a lot better right this moment. But you know what? It is what it is. Everything's fine. Life goes on, my friends. Life does go on. So we're driving around. So the event was held in a couple of different locations in the downtown area of this city. And I'm not going to tell you what city it was because I can't tell you. I can't tell you what the event, well, I mean, I could, but I'm not going to tell you what the event was specifically, even though I'm going to tell you stuff about it later on. And so we're driving, I think it was Tuesday morning. We're driving in, and there were some cute girls. Not a shit ton, but there were some hotties. So we're driving in, and we stop at the light, and crossing the street is this long-legged blonde. Long blonde hair. She's wearing shorts. She's got legs for miles. Oh my God, she is just beautiful. It's like, holy shit. And like all of us in the car, there's like five of us crew guys in the car, and we're all just staring at her with our jaws hanging open. Oh. So then Thursday, we're driving, was it Thursday? No, it wouldn't have been Thursday, it was Friday. It had to have been Friday. Friday, we're driving in, and we stop at a light, and who the hell walks in front of us again? Same fucking chick, only this time she's got long pants on, but she's still got legs that are miles long. And I was like, God damn, she's gorgeous. We're leaving. I said, you know, just letting you know, on the off chance that we see that girl again, you need to stop the fucking car because I'm getting out.
Holy fuck. She was cute.
We went to another big fucking store. Big fucking store that has everything in it. Outdoorsy store. That's where Jim bought his rifle that he bought. And so while Jim is doing his rifle buying stuff and his background and all that other stuff, me and the Taliban brothers, we went wandering off. Well, they have the store has inside of it a chocolate and fudge thing. I got all this chocolate and fudge now. Not all shit ton, but anyhow. So we go wandering over there and there's two little girls working the chocolate fudge department. High school girls, tall, blonde haired one with tall and thin, looks like a volleyball player. Oh my God, I watched. Let me talk about this real quick. Let me write this down. For the first time in ages, I actually, because I don't have cable TV, I never have cable TV. So in the hotel room, you know, there's cable TV. And normally, when I stay in a hotel room, I don't even turn on the television. I don't look at the TV. But we had some downtime, and I was reading T.J. Martinell's latest book, The Iridian. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. A sci-fi noir story by T.J. Martinell, which in the future, hey, T.J., here's a marketing idea for you. Here's what you should do. In the future, you should bundle your books, like the physical copy of your books. You should do like a bundle deal where if somebody on Amazon, where somebody orders your book on Amazon for an additional like $5 or whatever, they also get a magnifying glass so they can fucking read it. So I take this book and Aaron Clary's girlfriend, the GF, is here. And I walk up to her. I say, hey, GF, you read books, right? And she looks at me suspiciously because it might be a trap, which, you know, is completely legit and logical. And I said, no, this is a real question. Do you read physical books? She's like, yes. I said, okay, so I want you to take a look at this book and I want you to tell me if this font is too small. And I hand her The Iridian, a sci-fi noir story by T.J. Martinell. And she opens the book and she looks down and she goes, ugh. I'm like, thank you. Vindicated. And she looks, she flips through the pages and she looks at it and she contemplates for a minute. And she says, yeah, that's a little small. Like, yes. Yes, it is. So anyhow, TJ, there you go. Their marketing idea. Buy any book from TJ Martinell and it's bundled with a magnifying glass. So I've been reading The Iridian, which, by the way, is a good book. I can recommend it. It has a false ending because I'm like two-thirds of the way through and suddenly everything has resolved itself. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. He just got out, you know, the protagonist just solved his problems and everything. Like, the book's over, but why are there so many pages left? And then everything goes to shit again. So anyway, it's a very good book. I really do recommend it once again. You know, insert joke here about T.J. Martinell and his small font size. I mean, no wonder he can't find a girlfriend. If my font was that small, no girl would want to date me either. So I finished my book, and I didn't want to read any more of Carol O'Connor's book, which I'm also reading, which I thought was going to be an autobiography, but is actually him talking about what a left-wing statist he is, which was a little surprising. Because for those of you who don't know who Carol O'Connor is, he's the actor who played Archie Bunker. And, you know, people confuse actors with their characters, and they're not the same thing. And even I certainly know that. But, and so I didn't expect Carol O'Connor to be Archie Bunker. But I also did not expect Carol O'Connor to be so startlingly opposite. Like, Carol O'Connor in this book describes Archie Bunker as, you know, a racist. Like, he is, you know, it was an example of a person portraying something that is the exact opposite of all their, anyway, So I'm reading the book by Carol O'Connor, which I thought was going to be a typical actor biography where they talk about the things they've done and their movies they've made and tell stories about the movie and things like, and basically this is a book about politics. It's Carol O'Connor talking about how teachers need to be paid more money and people need to pay more taxes and all this other shit. And at some point in the future, I'm probably going to talk about that book. I didn't feel like dealing with that anymore. So I turned on the TV to see what was on, and damned if I didn't find women's volleyball, college volleyball. They have a Big Ten channel. I watched Purdue. I watched, and then there's another volleyball channel. So over a couple of nights, I watched Brigham Young University beat the ever-loving shit out of San Diego. I watched like six fucking volleyball games. I had forgotten how much fun it actually, and just aside from the hot chicks, and there were some hotties. There was a couple of fucking Maryland. The Maryland, what college was it? Is it just Maryland State? How many colleges can be in Maryland? It's tiny. Maryland, number 44. Woo, damn. Anyway. There's some fucking hotties. But watching girls volleyball was actually a lot of fun. I had forgotten how much I just really do enjoy watching women's volleyball. So the one girl in the fudge shop, the tall blonde one, tall, thin, looked like a volleyball player. The other one was a little shorter, a little more muscular, a little more fit, dark hair, long dark hair, freckles. She is adorable. They're both adorable. So me and the Taliban brothers, we're in the fudge shop. We're, you know, chatting these girls up, and they're back there doing their thing. They're like cutting fudge and, sorting chocolate and stuff. And we hung out there for, I mean, at least 20 minutes, maybe more. It had to have been more than that. The time flew because we were having fun. Because we're joking with each other, and we're looking at all the fudge and the chocolate and everything. We're talking to them. And so one of the Taliban brothers, he's like, "So, do you guys sample all the fudge?" They're like, "Oh yeah, we've sampled all of this fudge." "Oh, you know which ones are good, huh?" "Yeah." So they're like, "Well, so what about all like the chocolate stuff? Have you sampled all the chocolate stuff?" "Well, I haven't had much of that." "Well, why not? You gotta sample everything, don't you?" And the one little brown-haired girl, she says, "Well, we can't sample everything because if we sampled everything, we would get fat." And I thought to myself, "Oh, how is it that this high school girl understands?" I mean, despite the fact that she's in high school, despite the fact that she hasn't been taught anything useful, despite the fact that she's been told that Wuhan is going to kill her at any moment, despite the fact that she's been told there's no such thing as boys and girls, how is it that this little high school girl can figure out how women get fat? "Well, I can't sample all the chocolate because if I eat that much chocolate, I'll get fat." How is it that the high school girl can figure that out, but strong, independent women who have careers, master's degrees, which I'm pretty sure is racist because master bathroom is now racist, so I'm pretty fucking sure a master degree is racist. You got this strong, independent, fat woman with a career and a fur baby and a master's degree who is just clueless about why she's overweight. So we're in there, like the one of the Taliban brothers, he's like, "Well, all right, I'm gonna get some fudge. Then the other Taliban brother, "All right, I'm gonna get some fudge too." So I said, "All right, well shit, I need to get some fudge too." So I got some fudge. I haven't had any of the fudge yet. So when we're hanging out, then the one Taliban brother, he's like, "You know what, I'm gonna get some more stuff." And you know, the whole time we're like joking and we're ragging on each other and we're, you know, flirting with them. And the girls are kind of rolling their eyes. And then I'm like, "You know what? Man, I'm looking at the chocolate. You know, God damn it, I'm going to get some more stuff too." So I bought some more chocolate. Then the other Taliban brother, he buys some more fucking chocolate. And these girls are just cracking up. And then we're looking. And the first Taliban brother, he's like, "You know what? I need to get some more." And he buys more stuff. And we come rolling out of there. We spent probably, hold on, let me find it. I have my receipts right here because we're going to do this. We're going to do the receipt game. Went to that sports bar. That was shitty. Do I have my... Went to the pizza. Pizza place was pretty good. Barbecue place was not good. I also want to tally this up. I need to see how much money I fucking spent.
So let me tell you something.
I might have thrown that away. I think I spent about $15 on chocolate and fudge. I would say that between the three of us, we easily spent $60 on chocolate and fudge. Let's see, what's this? I don't need this receipt. That's what's instant. There's this place there that does shakes. I got this chocolate cake shake. Oh, it was fucking amazing. We went back for another one. But anyhow, the girls there were cute as hell, man. Oh, they were adorable. And we went to this other restaurant that had they had like 100-something beers on tap. Had bacon-wrapped tater tots. They were awesome. Had pot roast. Oh, the pot roast was fucking delicious. It was really good. They had a barley wine. No, not a barley wine, a mead. Blueberry mead. Holy fuck, it was good. The two problems with mead can be, it can either be too sweet or it can be too fruity. This mead was absolutely perfect. Exact level of sweetness, the exact level of fruit taste, and thick as hell. Because I got it, and it comes in like, you get a 6 ounce. 6 ounces of this stuff is $20. I thought about buying a bottle of it, because you could get a bottle. The bottle was $90. I seriously contemplated doing it. Oh my God, the amount of money. We hit the liquor store to pick up some local brews. I dropped $130 on beer and cider from local breweries. As I'm saying, man, it's like, I'm not even sure I made a profit on this gig. So let me write that down while I'm thinking about it, because I think I threw that receipt away already. $130 at the liquor store. And then the fudge. Let me write down my fudge. That was, let's just call that $15. I'm doing easy math. Not ICU math. Yeah, I spent trillions of dollars. My wallet is overflowing. What story was I telling? I've already forgotten. The mead. So it's in this little 6 ounce glass, right? So you can imagine how big, you know, like when you go to the restaurant and you order orange juice, they bring out that tiny little glass of orange juice. You're sitting there going, wait, I paid $7 for this? Are you out of your fucking mind, bitch? That tiny little 6 ounce glass, that's what it's in. And, you know, so I'm looking at it and I take my drink and I'm like, holy fuck, this is good. And Jim's like, yeah, you want to try it? And I'm like, no, I'm not scared of Wuhan. You can fucking try my drink. So Jim takes a little shot of it. He's like, holy crap, that is amazing. And we all work in theater and production, so we all have these high-powered LED flashlights that we carry around all the time. I carry mine around like all the time, not when I'm working. I always have my flashlight on me. And he whips out it. It's like, man, this thing is really dark and thick. I'm like, yeah. And he pulls out his flashlight and he puts the flashlight right up to the glass and turns it on full power. And the light is like barely coming through the liquid. Like, holy fuck, that's thick. God, it was fucking good. It was by far the best mead I have ever fucking drank. Damn, if this shit wasn't $20 a glass, I would sit there. I could drink that all day. Oh, it was delicious. All right, what's this? Pizza. Pizza was pizza. How much should I spend on pizza and booze? Only $23. Let's round it up to $24 because there was a tip. I just don't remember what it was. Got a pizza covered in dead animal. It was good. What's this? Yep, this restaurant. So yeah, here's the first. Oh no, was this the first time? Oh, this is the first time we went there when I had the pot roast. I spent $65 and I did leave a $20 tip because they were really fucking busy. And our waitress was actually really good. And so I appreciated her enough to give her $20. Because see, if you're competent, if you're one of the rare people that can be competent, then you can reap the rewards of your competency. Went to a barbecue place. It was not good. Oh, we went to another barbecue place. I don't have a receipt for that. What did I spend at that joint? I spent easily, like $25 there. What's this? Oh, here's my liquor. Here's my booze. Oh, no, it's only $110. I thought I spent $130. Nope, I only spent $110 on booze. Well, it's okay. I was doing ICU math. What's this? This is a sports bar. Sports bar was very fucking disappointing. No hot chicks at all. If I go to a sports bar, you really need to have some fucking attractive women working there. Like, come the fuck on, man. That was, and the food was, meh. Oh, here, what's this? Wait, is this my fudge receipt? No, it can't be. What is this? The fuck did I buy? Oh, this is my shorts. Anyway, okay, so, and then he took me, Jim took me to this place. He's like, yeah, this is where I buy my pants. They make, it's that company, they're called Duluth Trading. Now you can, all you have to do now is you can figure out which city we may have been in by finding out which cities have Duluth Trading companies in them. They make pants, according to him, I didn't research this. This might be ICU math. I don't know. They make pants out of the same material that fire hoses are made from. And he's telling me that they fucking last forever. So I bought a pair of pants and I bought a pair of shorts made out of fire hose material. And each of those, the pants were $80 and the shorts, the shorts were $80. The pants were $75. So I dropped $165 at this place on a pair of pants and a pair of shorts. And that's because, though, see, I'm firmly with Adam Piggott on this. If you buy quality, you spend more, you buy something quality, it's going to last you for a long time. That's where I'm coming from. Because I know there are some people out there, oh my God, you spent $80 on a pair of pants? Yes, but from what I hear, they're going to last me for a long time. Jim was telling me he's got pants from there that are 10 years old that he wears for work all the time, and they're still going. So I'm like, meh, all right, I'll drop for that. What's this? Oh, man, and then there's this other beer that I found at the place with the tater tots with the bacon on them and the pot roast. It's a raspberry Imperial Stout. Oh my, I brought back a crowler of that because, oh God, where is this the bill? Yes! So the second time we went back to this place with the mead because I wanted more of the mead and I wanted more of the raspberry stout. And they sell crowlers so you can take the beer with you. So between the food, because I got two orders of the fucking bacon wrapped tater tots plus a meal. Had meatloaf the second time between the food and all the booze that I drank there. And then I'm like, yeah, give me some crowlers also. I dropped $155. Oh man, I haven't spent $155 at a restaurant in a long time. $155. Then we went shopping again for more clothing and guns, and I got two more pair of shorts, because when I find shorts that fit and have the correct number of pockets and the pockets are deep, I mean, these things are critical. You people are men who listen to this. I assume you know this, right? These are critical things, not just pants and shorts that fit you correctly, but the correct number of pockets in the correct place, you know, like the cargo pockets, are they too small, you know? And then the depth of the pocket, you stick your hand in the pocket and you can't even get your hand into the wrist. I mean, no, all of this stuff is critical. When you find pants or shorts that meet the requirements, you gotta fucking buy them. So then over at this other place, I got two pair of shorts. That only cost me $35 though. That was good. So I got I got shorts out the wazoo now. I can stop buying shorts.
Mm.
That reminds me, because I did in one podcast tell you guys that I was going to take a picture of me with my old shorts on to show you like how much weight I had lost. And I said I would put that in the show notes. And I was waiting for someone to say, hey, motherfucker, you didn't put that picture in the show notes. Well, I went to grab some of my old shorts to take the picture to put it in the show notes. And that's when I realized that all my old shorts that don't fit, I have thrown them away. So I had already purged all of that from my life, thank God. And I really kind of need to go through my clothes and maybe do one more purging of stuff that just doesn't fit me because it's too fucking big. So anyhow, I now have enough shorts that I don't need to worry about buying any more shorts. And what is this receipt? This was the barbecue place that was not good. There was a barbecue place that was good, and there was a barbecue place that was not good. All right, so let me do some quick math here. Let's see how the great one did. I made that much money. I could factor in. Yeah, let me factor in my per diem. So I made that much money a day, because I was on a day rate. So the way this works is, oh God, I got overtime too. So the way this works is we do what's called a day rate. And so you get paid X amount of money for each day that you work. So it's kind of like a salary, right? Except here's the thing, anything over 10 hours, you get overtime. And I went into overtime a little bit. And then we also get per diem. So let's see, that was my day rate. And I did hit overtime a few times. I think I just said that. Sorry, my brain is still waking up. This is why I don't podcast first thing in the morning. Mm. All right, so that was that. And then I keep forgetting a lot of I'm trying to do ICU math. Give me a second here. So that's my day rate. Let's just call that my per diem. And that'll factor. I'm not even going to worry about the overtime. And then 7 days total. You also, in this business, you get paid your day rate for your travel days. So we only traveled one day. It was a long day. It was more than 10 hours. You don't get overtime for your travel day if you're traveling for more than 10 hours, which we were. But you get your day rate for it. So we got paid the day we went out, and we got paid the day we came back. And I already, again, forgot if I hit the button. Good God, my fucking brain. It's like a sieve. So I made, ooh, damn. All right, so in theory, I made over $3,000. How much, all right, I did better than I thought. How much did I spend? No, not time. Good God, come on, brain. Boy, I was about to do ICU math there. I was gonna do multiplication instead of addition. That's some serious ICU math. I'm sure there's things here too. I'm trying to remember what else I spent money on that I don't have a receipt for, because I tried to keep all my receipts.
Oh, man.
All right. Just on my loose math, I spent $689, which means I guarantee I spent probably, there's other things I don't have receipts for. So I probably spent about $750 on this trip. Boy, the last time I spent $750 in a week was probably never. But it was a good time. It was a good time. What else we got? I told you about that. I told you about the Russian. Oh, so then we got this guy. He's like, yeah, you guys like tacos? Like, sure, we like tacos. Local guy. All right, meet me at this taco. We're going to get some tacos. This place has the greatest tacos ever. All right, and we're going to meet him there. We got there first. So we pull up, and it's this little small building. It's, you know, not a lot on the outside. And we're just kind of, okay. We open the door, and I'm looking in. And at first, I thought, is this a hardware store? Because the counter is right there. We open the door, the counter is right in front of you, and there's, you know, stuff hanging on the front of the counter. And it looks like little packets of something, whatever. And I thought, this is a fucking hardware store? And we walk in. It's not a restaurant, and it's not a hardware store. It's a grocery store. It's a Mexican grocery store. They got the Mexican flag and the other flags from the countries down in Central America. And like everything on the, when I say Mexican, I don't mean because there's a brown guy behind the counter. I mean, it's like products, foods and everything from Mexico. And like they had the Coca-Cola with real sugar in it instead of high fructose corn syrup. Yeah, and like the boxes, they're all in Spanish because it's all Mexican stuff. And we're like, okay. And we're like the only, it's small. There's like five Mexican women behind the counter and there's a bunch of people in there and Jim and I are the only white people in sight. And it's like, all right. And we're looking around and they got this giant display filled with all these giant honking pastries and everything. Right? Are we sure? I'm like, are you sure we're in the right place? Are you sure this guy's not playing a joke on us? Because I don't, this is not a restaurant. I don't see any tacos. And then the guy shows up. He's like, no, no, no. You got to ask for the menu. So we get the menu, and sure enough, they make food. So anyway, we got the thing, and there's the tacos, and you got your chickens, and your beefs, and your shrimps, and your porks, and your tongue, and your tripe, and all that. So it's like, so I'm like, all right. And I order my tacos, and I get a beef, and a chicken, and a pork, and the tacos come out, and the taco, it's two soft taco shells, not one, two soft taco shells for each taco, and there's the meat, and then there's cilantro, and then there's onion, or rather there's meat, then there's onion, then there's cilantro on top of that. No cheese, no tomato, none of this fucking American Taco Bell shit. I'm like, all right, so, and there's no place to sit inside because it's a grocery store. So we go outside to the picnic table and sit down and fucking bite into this taco. Amazing, as Jesse Lee Peterson would say. They were fucking delicious. I'm like, holy shit, you are not fucking around. They were all good. The steak was goddamn amazing. I didn't factor that in. And that was only, well, Jim bought everyone's tacos. He fed three of us, plus we bought pastries and drinks. And for three people, getting three tacos each and a bunch of pastries and some drinks, I mean, it was like $40. The price was great. And those tacos were good. Holy shit, I was blown away. They were delicious. That's the taco story. Told you about volleyball. Told you about the Russian. Told you about the fucking mead. What else is there? And it was good to actually do a big traveling event like this again. Because, I mean, this, just like I said, man, the crew, other than the one dipshit, the crew was really good. And just working with these guys was a lot of fun. And again, it goes back to, that's one of the things that I really like about this industry, is just getting to work with good people that know their shit and, you know, can make it happen. And then when it's done, you know, just, and, oh, you know, Tuesday night? Yeah, Tuesday night or Wednesday, it doesn't matter. One of the nights, like we all went out, a bunch of us went out and we met some other guys from another crew that was doing a thing in town. And there's 10 of us around this table. This was at the place with the meatloaf and the mead and the raspberry stout, where I had the waitress I gave the $20 tip to because she was doing great. Because there's 10 of us, we were at this table, there's 10 of us there, all production guys, and just, you know, drinking beer and telling stories and cracking jokes and just having a great fucking time. Like, and the whole time, like, nobody, there was no whining, there was no bitching, you know, nobody talked about politics, nobody talked about vax. No, it's just, everyone just had fucking fun, man. We did our jobs and we did our jobs right. And then every night after we did our jobs, we went to a fucking restaurant and we got food and we got booze and we just sat there, we told stories and we, you know, ripped on each other a little bit, and we joked, and we tried different beers, and we said, you know, and just everyone just had a great fucking time, man. Oh, it was good. It was so nice to just not deal with negativity and just be around people that are competent and fun and have personalities. You know, unlike Adam Pickett. No, I'm just kidding. Adam, we love you, even though you do think there's an invisible man living in the sky. All right. I think that's all the story. How long did I fucking ramble here? Oh, 55 minutes. It just hit the 55-minute mark. Hey, that's enough of my stories. I'm trying to think if there's really anything else. I mean, I told you about the long-legged blonde crossing. Oh! I will say about this a little bit. The muzzles. God, the muzzles. So for this event, I told you guys that we did have to wear muzzles. I'll talk more about this when I do the episode where I talk about the content. I'm making a note. Give me a second. So like anything like this, the thing was completely fucking loaded with women. Like the event was almost like the staff, not the crew, not us, but the staff of the people running the event, entirely women. All women. I'm serious. I'm so fucking sick of hearing women talk about how oppressed they are. And we had to sit through this. We had to sit through a bunch of people giving presentations about how they're, I'm not making this up, guys. Like literally Hitler, 20% of the entire 5-day event was people talking about how women are so underrepresented and how men, this is actual phrase, men, this was actually said with a straight face, men need to make space for women. Like, fuck you, whore. If you're strong and independent, go make your own goddamn space. But, you know, everyone on the staff running this event, it was entirely women. It was 100% women. And I got to listen to these broads sitting here telling me how underrepresented they are. Bitch, the event is 110%, ICU math. This event is 110% run by women. And you're sitting here telling me that women are underrepresented. This is why women shouldn't fucking vote. So there's all these chicks, and the muzzle thing is in effect. So I told you guys that, you know, I had to wear a muzzle during the event, which once again, yeah, I just made over $3,000 in 7 days, only 5 days actually working, the other two traveling. For $3,000 over a 7-day span, I'll put a piece of cloth on my face. But there's these chicks wearing muzzles, and it's like, God damn it, like there were some girls there who looked good, except I'm not sure if they were cute or not, because I literally, Hitler, never saw them without cloth on their face. There's this one girl, she was running the event, our nickname for her was Napoleon, because, you figure it out. No, she wasn't short, she was just like the little dictator. Which was kind of fine because she's trying to run the event and we don't, you know, when you're running an event, you don't have time for pleasantries. Just tell me what you fucking need me to do. I don't have time for, but anyhow, got a cute butt, nice body, long hair. I never saw her without cloth over her face, so I'm not sure if she was cute or not. There's this other little girl there, rocking body, long blonde hair, glasses, had that kind of bookworm look. Really good fashion sense, like everyday, I should say sense of style, because fashion is one thing, style is another. Really great style with her clothing, because I love a chick. I love it when women have a good sense of style and they can dress themselves well. Like every day that she came in, man, she was rocking the wardrobe. She looked really good. Yeah, it's like she could have been cute. I don't know, because I couldn't see her fucking face. Because she had a piece of cloth, and this is what I've said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. Women love the muzzle because, number one, it's a fashion statement, but number two, it hides the ugliest part of their body. The nose, the lips, the teeth, the mustache, the chin. It hides the ugliest part of their body. Both of these girls with the muzzle on, I'm looking at them and going, damn, she's really fucking hot. And they could have taken that muzzle off, and I could have instantly lost interest. Fucking women. Thanks, cuckservatives.
Yeah, we gotta let the women vote. We gotta be equal. We gotta be egalitarian. Great one. Not all women are like that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for fucking destroying our entire goddamn civilization, you fucking piece of shit. Hang on. It's fucking getting hot in here already. I turned the heat on this morning. Oh, yeah, it's fucking 67 degrees in this place. That is way too fucking hot for the great one. Especially with me yelling at the internet. In fact, let me fucking open the door, let some of this heat out. Alright. I think that's it. I think we're done here. I think that's all my story. As soon as I turn off the recorder, I'll think of another story that I need to tell you. That's fine. I mean, the recorder ain't going anyplace, so if that is what happens, I'll be back.